Hare Krishna. I am very happy to be here in Srila Prabhupada's house with all of you. For those who have come to ISKCON now, it might be difficult to imagine what it was like before, when Srila Prabhupada first came back to Vrindavan. He wanted to get a place where his disciples from Europe and America could come and spend time. And eventually, one lady named Gita Devi Saraf offered this land where the temple is. And there was nothing. It was just an empty field. And the devotees, early devotees, underwent a lot of hardship to establish the temple. And then after the temple, the school. So a lot of blood, sweat, and tears went into creating the facility that is available to you now. So you should appreciate your good fortune in having this opportunity. Srila Prabhupada was very concerned about producing a new generation of sober, Krishna conscious students. And he was very concerned that people not misuse the valuable human form of life. As you know, there are activities common to both human beings and animals. Ahara, nidra, vaya, maitru, cha, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But the human being has one facility that the animals do not have, and that is to realize God and their eternal relationship with God. So Srila Prabhupada did not want people who have the rare human form of life to misuse it in the simple animal propensities. He wanted it to be used for its real purpose. Within 1 year, Srila Prabhupada got three properties. This Vrindavan and Mayapur and Bombay. And within a matter of months, he laid cornerstones for three projects in the three places. So the land in Juhu had buildings on it with tenants. And the children would run around the grounds making noise. So one of Prabhupada's disciples approached Srila Prabhupada and said, "We have to do something to keep the children quiet." And Srila Prabhupada replied, "You cannot keep the children quiet." But that tendency to make noise can be channeled in Krishna consciousness to do kirtan. And that was the beginning. It wasn't even really a school in any formal sense, but that was the beginning of the devotees teaching and engaging the children of the tenants at the Juhu land. And the children really liked it. Their time with the devotees became their favorite time of the day. And the devotees would teach them to chant and kirtan, teach them prayers, teach them to worship Tulsi Devi, teach them the basic philosophy of Krishna consciousness and the practices of devotees. But then there was another problem. At home, most of the children's parents cooked and ate things that devotees don't eat. So the children would complain, "Mommy, why are you cooking that? We don't eat that. We're not supposed to eat that." So that caused a little tension, a conflict. So you all are fortunate because your parents or guardians have sent you here in support of the good habits that you learn here. You won't have that problem in which what you learn at school is different from what your parents want you to do at home. So you are blessed in so many ways to have this this opportunity. You're the older group. I appreciated the kirtan very much, I must say. It had a real, real musical and devotional effect. So that's our idea. Kirtaniya Sadaharita, always engage in kirtan, in chanting the holy names and glories of the Supreme Lord. And as far as other things that you might do after you graduate, that of course will vary from person to person. But the main thing is to always remember Krishna. Again, at Juhu, because most of my experience with Srila Prabhupada was in Juhu, he mentioned how when he and his sister were growing up, they used to fly kites. You know the word kite?
Yes.
And they used to have a competition whose kite would fly higher. And in this competition, they would both call out to the Lord to make their kite fly higher. Like he mentioned his sister, she would call the name Govinda. Oh, Govinda, Govinda, make my kite fly. And he gave that as an example that the training that the children get in our schools should be such that no matter what happens in their later life, they will never forget Krishna. From a certain point of view, flying a kite is a material thing. But even while engaged in that ordinary activity of flying a kite, they remembered Krishna. They were calling out the name of Krishna, praying to Krishna. So he said, it's not expected that all the students who attend our schools will stay in the ashram. They may leave the ashram and marry and engage in different activities. But their training should be such that no matter what they do in their later life, they will never forget Krishna. And that is almost certain to be the case if you stay and immerse yourself in the mood of Vrindavan and the spiritual activities of chanting and hearing about Krishna, worshipping the deities, hearing the classes, Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. And going on parikrama. I'm sure you go on parikrama. I can tell you one little incident. For some years, I could not get a visa to come to India, so, but I was trying, and I had assurances that, you know, my visa would be granted soon. So, my sister and her brother-in-law, not devotees, but they wanted to visit Nepal and India. So we made a plan that I would go to Pakistan, and the idea was I'd get my Indian visa there, and they would go to Nepal, and then we would meet in Delhi. But in the end, I didn't get my visa. And the communication was pretty poor back then. Phones, telegrams. But in any case, they came to Delhi, and then they thought, oh, now what are we going to do? So of course, they thought, we have to visit the Taj Mahal. So they went to the Taj Mahal, And they got a Hindu tour guide. And he said, you know, you are very close to Mathura, to the birthplace of Lord Krishna. So you should go there. So they went to Mathura, and you know, they thought that there must be an ISKCON temple. It's the birthplace of Lord Krishna. So they were asking, where's the Hare Krishna temple? Where are the Hare Krishna devotees? But it was just the Krishna Janmabhoomi Mandir. And then suddenly, around the corner, came a Harinam party with students from the Bhaktivedanta Gurukul. And they were doing parikrama. There was a bus with the students from the school, and coincidentally, there was a group of devotees from Laguna Beach who were visiting Vrindavan, so they also joined with the students. So you know, my sister went up to them, and you know, she said, I'm so-and-so, my brother's Girat Swami, and, you know, we just ended up here, and we don't know what to do. They said, oh, well, come with us. We're just about to go to Govardhan Hill, so you can come in the bus with us. So they got in the bus, and they went to Govardhan Hill. They swam in Kusum Sarovara. And then they ended up at Radhakund. And by then it was a little later. My sister didn't feel like going in, but my brother-in-law went in. And this is something extraordinary. I mean, know if in their life they'll ever see Govardhan Hill again, what to speak of Radhakund. And that came in a way because of the parikrama of the Bhaktivedanta Gurukul. But I'm mentioning it also because of that point that because things are so accessible to you right now, you shouldn't take them for granted. I mean, it may take someone hundreds and thousands, maybe millions of lifetimes to have this opportunity that you have now. And I would say it's very important for you to have elders that you have a strong relationship with. Of course, that also depends on the elders. Because when, you know, as you're growing, you'll come in contact with many different ideas, philosophies, different types of people who will encourage you to go in different directions, and that's natural. But it's good if you have someone who you can confide in. Because if you try to process everything on your own, it could be quite overwhelming. and bewildering. I mean, this is also some facility that you have that we didn't have. Of course, we were convinced about Krishna consciousness. We did not have any inclination for anything else. But still, when Srila Prabhupada left, most of us were quite young and inexperienced. And so there were problems just because we were inexperienced. And His Holiness Jayadwaita Swami commented that the problem with ISKCON is we don't have any grandmothers. In other words, we didn't have any elders who had gone through the different phases of life who could tell us what to expect and what to do and what to avoid. But now the society has matured and you have that opportunity. You have grandmothers, such figures, grandfathers, elders, you know, who you can speak to and who can help you deal with new situations. So, Hare Krishna. I think at this stage we have a few more minutes. So if any of you want to ask any questions or share any thoughts, we can open the discussion to you. First, tell me your name.
My name is Sushmit. Last year.
Okay.
Yes, my question is that when Prabhupada was struggling to build the Jubu temple, there were many problems faced by Srila Prabhupada. So can you tell how he got successful in his mission to build such a grand temple?
Yes. I can tell you from Srila Prabhupada's own words. There were a number of struggles. The first was to get the land. Then the second was to get the permission to build. And then the third was to build. But at a certain stage, the incident I'm going to relate took place after he had gotten the land. So he was sitting on the terrace, the roof of one of those buildings that were already there. And at about 7 o'clock, there was a Bengali devotee named Hari Das. He's still there in Bombay. He was fanning Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada said, do you hear that? And Hari Das Prabhu said, hear what? He said, do you hear the sound of the kirtan coming from the temple? And Hari Das sort of strained to hear. He said, no, Srila Prabhupada, I don't. He said, you don't hear the sound of the kirtan coming from the temple? He said, no. And Srila Prabhupada said, that's the point. There is no kirtan in the temple. And there should be. Where are all the devotees? So Hari Das speculated a little and said, well, they must have gone to Bombay to collect, and they haven't gotten back yet. So Srila Prabhupada said, you know, this was not my idea. But actually, it wasn't quite what Hari Das thought. But one of our best donors had died. And so his wife, widow, had asked us to come to her place. So that's actually what had happened. But the principle is what's important. So he said, to Hari Das Prabhu that, this was not my idea, that they should go out all day and collect. You know, they can go at 9 in the morning and come back at 5 in the evening and then have a program in the temple. Otherwise they'll become like karmis. And then he said this exact question that you asked, and Srila Prabhupada said, "Do you know why we were successful and Mr. Nair wasn't?" Mr. Nair had influence. He had been the sheriff of Bombay, and he also owned one of 3 English daily newspapers. So Srila Prabhupada said, Mr. Nair had influence. We had no influence. Mr. Nair had money. We had no money. Mr. Nair knew people in high places. We didn't know anyone. But we were successful and he was not. Why? And then Srila Prabhupada gave the answer that we were working to please Krishna and he was working for himself. He said, we are successful not by our own strength, but we are successful by Krishna's pleasure and Krishna's mercy. So the devotees should come back and they should chant and dance in front of the deities for the pleasure of the deities. And that will make us successful. Not trying to work hard and depend on our own ingenuity and resources. And the very first time that Srila Prabhupada came to the Juhu land, it was really just, well, in the back there were some apartment buildings, and the front was, it was just an empty lot overgrown with bushes and brush. The Juhu village was quite sort of primitive back then. And some of the local people, they were actually distilling liquor in the bushes. But when Srila Prabhupada was leaving, the devotees arranged the VIP lounge for him at the airport. And there was a resounding kirtan. I mean, the devotees were just jumping up and down. I mean, it was just... And at the end, Prabhupada said, if you go on having kirtan like this, our project will be successful. So the same instruction, the same theme. So, yeah. That's the answer in Srila Prabhupada's own words. Hare Krishna. Yes. Oh.
My name is Ravana. I want to ask a question. As you stay for long in Vrindavan or in any other holy place, we become too familiar with the place itself. So the feeling of a place being holy vanishes away. So what is to be done to keep that feeling?
That's a good question. And it's a coincidence, because just yesterday I was reading where Srila Prabhupada wrote that one should not stay in a holy place for too long, because one will start to see the people as mundane. Well, there are two answers. One is, to go out once in a while. This is actually a principle of preaching, the principle of preaching. Because the same thing can apply when you're in the temple. You become too familiar with the devotees, and instead of seeing them spiritually as servants of Krishna, you see them in terms of their material conditioning. But when you go out to preach, you realize how rare and special devotees are. They're in a very different category from the ordinary people that you meet when you go out and preach. And when you speak the message of Krishna, things that are so obvious to us, any devotee knows. For ordinary people, they can't understand it. So that contrast is actually good. Like Srila Bishnath Chakravarti Thakur says that Krishna's pastimes in the material world are actually more appreciable than his pastimes in the spiritual world, because a light it is more effulgent, or it stands out more against a dark background. So that's a good question, and it's good that you're concerned about that. It's good that you're concerned about that. The other answer is to just keep going deeper in Krishna consciousness. Then it's like Srila Prabhupada said, a businessman, every day he'll want to see that he's made more profit. Every day there should be some profit. So a devotee should also see that every day there's some spiritual progress. So, in that sense, if you can have that focus, that okay, how can I do a little better? What can I do to improve, to get more benefit from my time here in Vrindavan? Then it won't be boring. It won't be mundane. But it will be an adventure. Every day will be an adventure. Something new to be discovered and learned and gained. Good question. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Maharaj, you and the disciples of Prabhupada were very successful in preaching, but I'm concerned about the future generation, that we are not that confident in preaching, and like we are shy to go on preaching. So how do we develop confidence for preaching?
Well, much of that we get in Krishna consciousness comes from association. So if you associate with devotees who preach, you can get the spirit to preach and also learn the way to preach. That happened with me. I was surprised. I was, I came to India and I was hearing Srila Prabhupada speak. But somehow, I couldn't quite figure out how to adapt it. It was like a little bit, I don't know, Prabhupada was just in a different category. And then, after traveling with Srila Prabhupada for several months, there were invitations, so one of Prabhupada's disciples, he accepted an invitation to Agra and Aligarh, two places. And somehow, seeing how he preached, I learned to preach. He was preaching the same thing that Prabhupada said, but somehow, the way he did it, being more or less my age, a little older, and being American, and I don't know what it was, but then I got it. That I could do this. This is how you do it, and I could do that. So I think that's the best way. I mean, I don't know what happens during the school holidays, but in the old days, a group of boys used to come to Juhu, and I would take them out, and of course they didn't have to do that much preaching. Mainly they just had to eat mangoes. I'd say association. And you get it by hearing. I heard one lecture, every day at lunchtime I hear a lecture by Srila Prabhupada. And the talk he gave, it was like so strong. And even I was thinking, wow, can we preach like this today? Because, but he had age, and of course he had authority. He had realization. So we can't imitate, but we can achieve this. We can say the same thing, but, in our own words. And it may not, it's actually not that hard if you know the philosophy and you just repeat what you've heard. It's actually not that hard. After being in India for about 3 years, I got quite sick. And finally, Srila Prabhupada said, as long as I stay in Bombay, I won't be able to get better. So I went to America, to Los Angeles Temple. And then Srila Prabhupada came and he was meeting with the scientists, Bhaktisrup Damodar Swami. And so he was using a lot of phrases and words like fools, rascals, kick them in the face with boots. And, it was very inspiring, it was very enlivening. So when my health was a little better, I went to see Srila Prabhupada and I said, when we preach, should we speak like this? He said, no. When you speak to them, you have to speak like a gentleman. So we don't call them fools or rascals or mudhas or duskritinas, but we present the same philosophy, which is beginning that life comes from life. That's the basic point. Life comes from life. It doesn't come from matter. And that whole talk, I mean, a good section of that talk was just on that point. That it's just, it really is foolish. It really is foolish that to think that from the skyscraper building, people have come. No. From people, the skyscraper building has come. But they have it like, it's just really crazy when you think about it. They think like, first the universe existed and then living entities came. It's the opposite. So he just went over it again and again and again. So you can use the same arguments. They're very simple and clear. And you just take out the mudha, rascal, fool, Radhima. And that was Prabhupada speaking to us, you know, to like inspire us. He didn't really use those words in a face-to-face conversation with people. So I would say hearing, associating and hearing are the same. Hearing, if you hear Prabhupada's lectures, read the books, hear senior preachers, it's really very clear. It's really very clear. But they are mudhas, that's the problem. They are mudhas. And therefore, even you speak the plain truth, they don't get it. They're just too covered with the lower modes, you know, Rajagun, Tamagun, and he was also discussing like the creation, like the Big Bang theory. Have you heard of that? Yeah. So, according to the theory, I mean, in broad terms, I was presented it. I remember in 1955 when the Russians launched the first Sputnik and they were like ahead of America in the space race. So in the junior high school, they had a special assembly, like, what are we going to do? The Russians are ahead of us. And so like the top scientific figure in the school system, he gave a presentation. And he drew this whole thing on the board, how this island, some sort of vague substance, then it comes together in a like a point and then it explodes. That was what he said, you know. So Srila Prabhupada was making this point that, okay, in the beginning there was the chunk, and then the chunk exploded. So where did the chunk come from? And who made it explode? He said it's the same time, same thing. Sometimes a mountain, there's an explosion in a mountain. It doesn't just happen. Somebody takes dynamite and he makes the explosion. Things don't just explode. So very simple, logical, clear arguments. But really, people are so bewildered that their brains are so full of these ideas that they might not get it. But if they're simple, you know, if they're honest, they will get it. But even if they don't get it, we have to just keep repeating. We have to keep repeating. And that will be good for us, and it will be good for them too. Hare Krishna. Actually, I wasn't going to say it, but since a few students clapped, it gave me courage. At the end of the lecture, Prabhupada said, they are mudhas. And it is our business to expose these mudhas. we should say very straightforwardly, you are Mudhas. And that is our mission. And then all the devotees cheered. All right. I guess the time is over. There was a, looks like a teacher or someone at the back had a question.
Yeah, just one more question. I think somebody raised his hand at the back.
No.
Some student at the back? Somebody has raised. Yes? Yeah. Yeah.
One student.
Maharaj, sometimes we are too heavy by a situation that we are not.
You speak.
Sometimes we are too much agitated by a situation that we are not able to control. So what to do after that?
Very good question. You're saying sometimes you're disturbed by situations that you're not able to control. So what should you do? Well, what we are learning to do and practicing is taking shelter of Krishna. And there's always a test. There's always a test. Something happens. So the immediate question is, am I going to take shelter of Krishna or something else? And because of our past habits, we often think, like you said, we want to control the situation. And then when we can't control it, we get disturbed. So then what should we do? We should take shelter of Krishna. But the better course is immediately take shelter of Krishna, no matter what. And taking shelter of Krishna means that Krishna will help you. Like, say, in the struggle for the Juhu land, I mean, there were so many terrible setbacks and reversals. And Srila Prabhupada said we were successful because we were working for Krishna. But Krishna gave Srila Prabhupada and even the disciples, to some extent, the intelligence how to proceed. Tesham satyata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam didami buddhi yogam tam enamam upayantite. If you're constantly engaged in serving Krishna with love and devotion, Krishna will give you the intelligence how to come back to him or how to move forward. And sometimes the intelligence will come, Krishna in the heart will tell you to consult some particular person. So, yeah, whatever happens, we should take shelter of Krishna. When I first joined the temple in Boston, I was told, because, you know, people had not seen devotees before, and American society was very conservative. And just seeing the devotees, people would get agitated and insult them and sometimes even try to fight with them. And so the devotees were saying, you know, if there's any trouble, you just chant the holy name. You chant the Nisringa prayers. And it happened once, I was on the bus and some sort of big, heavy set, rough guy started to sort of, you know, try to pick a fight and, you know, say insulting words and sort of push me a little. So I just started to sing the Nisringa prayers and, I don't know, he settled down and moved away. So, I mean, yeah, we have to take normal precautions, but ultimately we have to take shelter of Krishna. And we can just check when there's some reversal, some situation, to what extent are we taking shelter of Krishna. And that means the holy name, the philosophy, the devotees, as opposed to our minds and senses and other assets.